The weeks we've been together, we've been talking about separation, right? We've been talking about Romans 1, 18 through 32. We're not going to roll that on screen because you saw enough of it. You never know, we may bounce back in it. What does this have to do with Ephesians 2? Everything. Because Paul, in his Romans letter, is a treatise on the good news, is a treatise on the way one lives their life or chooses to live in the world instead of getting rid of the L and living in the Word, right? It caused us a natural separation from him. Synopsis or summary. This says from the inside out, right? That's how he cleans us. You know, this building on the outside for many a year looked like an armpit. Can we be clear? I'll put it this way. It was around 10:30 at night. We're across the road. We had just finished a Bible study at Jay and Connie's house, and we turned around and we're facing this way across from the railroad tracks, and the building is beige and brown. That may be kind for you, wasn't kind for me. And I look over and Mary says, what are we doing? We got to get home. We got to get up at 5 to be at church at 6 and start our thing then. I said, this is an interesting building. She goes, that's an ugly building. And I said, yeah, but if God's into ugly, so am I. And at that time I heard, you're going to have this building. It took forever, right? We'd sit out in the parking lot, her sister Carmen, myself, and Mary Lou in our car, Carmen in hers, and we would park where many of you park here. And this thing is just dilapidated and all the above. And we would pray. But say, there was another church that was here. We weren't praying to boot them out. They were in foreclosure because they, listen, stopped working for the Lord. And I know this firsthand when we talked to the treasurer and his wife. And I said, what happened? And her proud Texas ways turned from me with a restrained tear and said he closed our church because we quit working for him. The people that have been with us a while know that it took me 2.5 years to tell that story without weeping from the pulpit. Because it goes against everything that's in me. Neglect not the gift that's in thee. In other words, live the giftings of how you've been created to his full, starting with mercy, ending with grace, the two combined as love. We cleaned this building from the inside out. We left the floors. You guys, some are like, oh, those are cool floors. We just clear-coated what we ripped up. You'll see bars, and there was a hallway here. There was a closet here. This was a meeting room here. This was a sanctuary, and it said 40. I don't know if you know, but we have a sign that says occupancy 100 sinners. Have you seen that when you come in? Instead of 100 occupants? When you walk out, you're 100 redeemed, right? He cleans us from the inside out. But that transforming of the mind and the prayer earlier is the matter some peace, right? We're getting clean from the inside out. You see, in Romans 1, it talks about the ills of man. And if you know, when Paul's writing this letter, he's writing to a couple of groups of people, one of which is the Gentiles. You know, the some would say the moralists. Bottom line, you're either with God or you're not, right? So here they are living in this paganry. And when he hits Romans 1:18, and if you guys want to have that just fly in the background, I'm not going to read it, just fly and move it forward. You'll see all the debaucherous things that man can do unchecked by the Holy Spirit. What's one of the debaucherous things man can do? Lie. Talk behind somebody else's back. Backstabbers. Not lovers of God. Do you hear some of these things? Any of those echo in your heart? Don't feel all guilted up. God's redeemed you from it. We're talking about your past, unless you're operating in your present, you see. Insolence. Haters of God, again. He's made his self known. Do you guys know how to make air? Careful now. Do you know? That's wind. Do you know how to make air? I don't either. Do you know what it looks like? Have you ever seen air? Mm-mm. Oh, you can go out on a cold day and go, oh, that's not air. That's steam. You don't see it, right? But yet it works. Isn't that wild? Who made that? Nobody knows? Oh my gosh, a room full of Christians and nobody knows who made air. And yet you breathe it every day. Can we try that? Did you hear it? Oh, so you do know. Because you say it with every breath cycle. Do you understand? The evidences of an invisible God's attributes are clearly seen so that none are without excuse. And that called general revelation. What about that tribesman in the middle of Canada that's never heard the gospel? General revelation. Well, look, you're doing this. You're casting out your nets and trying to catch specific fish. Cast out the nets, pull the tally in. God will sort them out at the end. He'll sort out the tuna from the dolphin and the whatever from the whoever. You just keep casting your net and don't worry about the end result, right? Hey, we'll get so twisted up in the world, we'll start thinking it's okay to jump on. Let me see. I've got to be careful. You're going to think it's okay to shake the sheets with just anything that breathes. Do you understand? Maybe you're a man and you feel like being with men, or a woman and feel like being with a woman. That's an inappropriate use of the body. And I have in my mind a very firm understanding that sometimes when a woman is looking at another woman with a amorous intent, that means with a desire for love and relationship in her heart, that she may be just admiring that person for the way they're created, but operating in a way that's lustful and wrongly placed, instead of just going, wow, she's really, as a girl, wow, she's really a beautiful woman, and leave it at that. And what makes her beauty is her smile, not how she's ordained or any of that. You know, inside out. Gentlemen, if you're looking for something that should be on some kind of magazine that you should not have your eyes on, you are looking for the wrong woman. And oh, by the way, you're bastardizing love. That means without a father. Do you understand? Look for a woman that is from the inside out, a woman of Jesus, and wait for her as you're becoming that man from the inside out is looking like Jesus. Do you understand? Men, if you're looking at another man to jump on his bones, you're doing it wrong. It's one thing to arm wrestle. It's a whole other thing to do a whole other thing. Exit only, men. Exit only. Okay? Those aren't easy subjects to talk about. I'm sorry I'm not a little more detailed, but I do have younger ears here. You know, we don't pull the wool over anybody's eyes. We speak very clearly. Why? Because the world speaks very clearly. Do you understand? Well, you're being hateful. No, you need to understand that's not the case. I am being loving because I am going to speak truth. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry that you've dismissed the intents of the Lord because you've gotten it wrong. You know, I've told many a times, and my brother Brent isn't here, but he grows a wicked beard, except the mic would be here. He grows a wicked beard, and I like that guy. He grows this wicked beard, you know, and I just look at him and go, wow, he can grow a beard. I look like a cat out of a dryer, right? I told you that before. I grew for a year, I had this mustache with this, and my mother-in-law, about this big, Mary Lou's mom, she looks across the table. I got this one-year mustache and this bat goat. And I was like sporting it. I'm eating myself. She goes, Hito, are you trying to grow a mustache? Nope. 1 year, right? But I don't want to jump his bones. And he would say, thank you. Because he wouldn't want me to do that either. He does not want to be looked at as in an inappropriate way. It's uncomfortable, and it's just plain not what the Lord would have for us to do. And when we follow after worldliness, we start figuring out ways that we can think about how God should be, how we think he should be a certain way, and he'll permit this and he'll permit that. No, the Old Testament, New Testament God is the same. The only transition is Christ. He allows us through. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father but through me. He wants us stripped of all of the things of worldliness that we've been taught, that we have self-taught, any of it. And he wants us to have a renewed mind. What happened with the Jews was this. They had the law. They had the Abrahamic covenant, still true today, right? But they had such pride in the law, they did not understand the essence of the law. Love God with all your heart and love other dudes and chicks and bring them to me, right? You understand? That's what he wanted Abraham to do and his whole tribe is to go out and show the world the love that God has for them. But see, what happens is, and we see this in churchianity today, is that we get this cloistered thing and we forget that, you know, we're filled up with him and we're expected to be poured out. And we're filled up and poured out and filled up and poured out. Do you understand? That's why you're alive. Excuse me, I'm going to drink from you. So this pagan people group was separate from the Jews because they had the law and circumcision. 8 days old. Here it comes. Can you imagine getting that done today, man? Yeah, you ought to see the squinting going. I don't think so. It's going to be 3 days of pure ugly, right? Yeah? It's one thing to have physical circumcision, to be reminded of the promise, but if it doesn't come from the inside out, it's just an act. Do you understand? If it's just an act, that makes you an actor, and the Greek word is hypocrite. That church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Why would I go there? I don't know. Why don't you come and join? Because you probably already are. Right? The difference is the hypocrite is this, they know it, and they're working to not be that. You've got to be the same person in here that you will be when you're in the line here in a minute to fight for that food, right? Women and children first, and men, you get to wait till last, right? Why do we wait the men for last? I don't know. Let's talk about washing feet. We'll go from there, you know? So you have these one groups, this the Gentiles, the pagans. You have this other group in Romans 2, and that's the one that has the word and the promise and all the above. That circumcision of the loin versus circumcision of the heart, again, metaphoric, we're not cutting fat tissue off our hearts. We're cutting the things of the world off our heart. And oh, by the way, why would you go back and pick up that dead stuff that you cut off from the heart and try to wear it again? Do you know when the Israelites had their second river crossing, second parting of the seas, the Jordan, remember when the priests went across? And when the men went across, they were the next generation. What happened to them first thing they did? Do y'all remember? Circumcision. They had a hill of foreskins. How many men? I don't know. We estimate, they say 2 to 3. I just call it 2.5 million. That's the men. I don't know how many women are involved. I don't know. But I don't know how big a pile, even a million. And this is going to gross you out, so get used to it. But I have to tell you something. That is reminding me, if I'm not of the world, these are grown men, right? And they've thrown their foreskins on the hill. The priests are like, next, next, next. And there's a pile. Now let me, this is the gross part. You're a man. You're wanting to live in the ways of the world. And you're digging through all of that, trying to find yours to put it back on. Oh yeah, that just grossed you, didn't it? Let me tell you how gross that is when you try to pick up the sinful ways of your former self. It is no different. Do you understand? he summaries this in the Romans 3:23, where he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you're the chosen one or the ones that are unwashed, the Gentiles or the Jew. It matters not. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's what he's writing about here in the Ephesus letter. We're going to be in Ephesians 2:11. And he says, Father God, please, as you see fit. The title of the message again, from the inside out. That's what happened with this building. It got built from the... It got built from the...
Inside.
One more time. Got built from the...
Inside.
Oh, people, one of my favorite compliments outside the sense of the Holy Spirit or love when they walk through the door, they come in and they go, oh, it's almost like, what am I going into, some kind of zoo? And it's like, oh, it's not so bad. Is it? It's not so bad. I mean, it's not the best building on the planet, but it's not so bad. It's been a lot of work done to it. If you notice that the colors are very masculine, why do you think? Because I'm a redneck. We ain't put no pastel in here. Y'all are that. No, because you know what? Men already think that men of Christ are a bunch of sissies. I'd like to use a different word, but I'm not going to. They think we're a bunch of sissies. And when they come in and they see that modeled, no, dude, it's going to be masculine. You know, we're breaking chains here. We want the guys to come in because the most strongest men I've ever known in my life are men of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what my title is? Not just Dave. You know what my title is?
Man of God.
You know what, men, you know what your title is? Say it. Man of God. If it's anything else, keep your mouth closed. Women, what's your title? Period. End of story. That should only be the only thing that's on your headstone. Woman of God. If you're a woman of God, you'll be, I almost said you'll be a great father. If you're a woman of God, yep, mixed metaphor. If you're a woman of God, you'll be a great mother. If you're a woman of God, you'll be a woman of God. People will know you. If you're a man of God, you'll be a great father, a great husband. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a different feel. We had some teachers on National Day of Prayer. We had various churches come in and together. And somebody was asking me, what do you want titled? And I said, nothing. Put whoever, I'll put my name, Dave Pierce, in quotations, man of God. Mary Lou spoke, if she speaks. Mary Lou Pierce, woman of God. You ought to have seen the comportment. Dave Pierce, pastor, and blah, 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 blah. It's all hooey. It matters not. You know what matters? How many souls are in heaven. Outside of that, the rest of it's hooey. Are we clear so far? Okay, all right. Don't forget that Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. Wow. Why did he say don't forget? Because we forget that we were there too. You have to remember, you that called Jesus your Lord or Savior, you men of God, you women of God, to the folks that are the yet, because they're not there. They're not there yet. You have to understand that you were there. And that's where the long suffering, the patience, that's why I brought in the teenage understanding. It just takes some time to get there. Do you understand? Not there, not there.
Yes.
Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were not there yet. You were called uncircumcised heathens and dang proud of it by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision. You uncircumcised, we have our circumcision. Yeah, well, I don't want to check. That's not my job. You were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. Think about that. It didn't affect their hearts. It had no bearing on their hearts. You can sit there and go through all the motions that you want, and if it has no bearing on your heart, then you haven't gotten anywhere very quick, have you? You haven't gotten there. You may think you've gotten there, but you haven't. Would you give this to Delish? Please make sure we get a receipt on that. Thank you, Connie, for having that done. They thought they had that all put together, but their hearts hadn't been changed. Christian, you're new. These folks that are getting baptized, that's not the culmination of a sin-filled life. That's the starting. That's where the key goes into the car to turn the ignition forward that you can move on into your vacation time or your next motion, your travel. Their hearts were not changed. Every motive when you breathe in has to be about Him. Listen, every single motive. Dave, do you know how hard it is to filter through every single motive? Yeah. I have to do it every day myself. And guess what? I walk pretty good for a 65-year-old fella. You ought to see me when I was 2. I didn't do it so good. Right? But I walk pretty good now, right? I can get around. It's expected of me to walk pretty good. Now, I know there's times that I've had to have a helper to help me get through, and that's where y'all come in when I've had my hard times to walk. Do you understand, family? That's what Christians do. Do you understand, family? That's what Christians do. Do you understand that your job is to help another brother or sister that are walking wounded and they have no visible scars of such? Please turn the fans on. In those days, in verse 12, you were living apart from Christ. We're in the New Living Translation. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. You can live 30, 40, up to 80 days without food. I know. Been there. Done that. Do it again. You can live about 3 days without water, maybe about 3 minutes without oxygen. I know some of you can go for, okay. Let's see how you are at 10. But you can't really live life 1 ounce, 1 second without hope. Hope is not, I hope he loves me. I hope she really thinks about me a lot. I hope I get that car. I hope I get that scooter. I hope I get an A on my paper. I hope I get that job. Those are question mark hopes. Our hope is in the assurances of what we cannot necessarily see or necessarily prove in that fashion. Our hope is amazing because he's given us assurances, firstly, by the power of his Holy Spirit, and secondly, by his word, which he makes known to you. Read it. In 13, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. I love how Paul always gives the Messiah table a title before his name. Do you call him Jesus Christ? You call him Christ. You call him Jesus. Have you ever noticed something when people are angry? What's one of the first words they say? Jesus. I can't say it. Cheese and rice. How's that? Right? That's the first. You ever notice that you don't go, Buddha? Do you ever notice that? They're all false gods. They're all false gods. They only curse the true God. Muhammad! You don't hear that. You get your throat slit in some countries. Jesus Christ. Wow. But you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, remember the steps? But now you had brought near to him through the blood of Christ, not drinking it, the work on the cross, blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. Do you know what it's like to war? Let me ask you a question. You that are older, when you were teenagers and you battled against your parent or parents or overseers, were you at battle or were your parents at peace? And what happened when you settled down and you made amends to your moms and dads if you had that opportunity? Pardon? Lifelong friends, some? Yeah? Or at least as far as up to you, you no longer had a part to that? Do you understand the peace he brings is not as of the world because it always has conditions? He's bringing you peace that you have the rest from the battle. For Christ himself in 14 has brought peace to us. He united Jew and Gentile into one people. Whoa! We have three people groups? Jew, Gentile, and both of those, whoever chose to go, are now a third party, in a sense, a third people group. Yep, we're Wayans. Yeah. Are you a weigh-in? Aren't you people of the way? Because Christian was a title that came later. You came by this other name because Jesus said, I am the, and no one gets to the Father but through me, right? They were called the people of the way. That's what you are. Isn't that cool? Don't worry. I see the food being set up. It's not ready yet. I'll tell you when it's ready. And when I see Mary Lou slobbering over the food, I'll be like, all right, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. He united Jew and Gentile. Isn't that amazing? Mary and I, listen, Mary and I were at odds when we were married. We didn't know Jesus. Can I tell you something? When Jesus becomes your trusted Savior, not just somebody you know, your trusted Savior, your marriage will vault higher than you can imagine. I'm telling you right now, we thought we had it put together. Nah, we don't got nothing, man. When Jesus became the true head of our home, not just in name, but in deed, as in deed to our souls, our life was changed forever. Yeah, we've had hard times. When that curly-haired boy back there was just born, we almost ended in divorce. She was chasing family. I was chasing business. We were in the church. We were peace out. She said, it's a hard time with his delivery. He had a hard time the first few days of his life. Mary said, I'm going to go over to his mom's house and help her through this hard time. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. In Jesus' name. And the third night going into the fourth day, I heard in my head, you can get somebody younger. You can get somebody that will do what you want them to do. And all I heard was, what's going on? And what the H-E double toothpicks is going on in your head right now that you think that that's okay? Well, it was Satan playing hell with me. Satan had his way. She comes in the door, and I looked at her the same way I looked at her when she went out, with hate and daggers in my eyes for her. We were on the roads to divorce, Mr. Christian servant and servant. Do you understand this? We're talking about 21 years ago. She comes in, she goes up, does her business, comes down and goes down to our basement office. I say, how's the boy? He's fine. Everything's working out. Good. Good. I looked at her. I said, we got problems. She said, yes, we do. So, well, I said, we need to go to somebody to fix them problems. I said, well, I don't want to go to the pastor. Too small a church. He would talk. I talk, but there's things I don't talk. And by the way, sharing about Joan was permitted. I forgot to say that. I said, well, that. So we went to bed. Same bed, same angered heart. Both of us got up the next morning, went to the restroom. We got a footboard. You guys know what a footboard is? Yeah, you got that where you put your blankets? Got one of those. I looked at Mary and I said, come on. She goes, hang on a minute. She goes, does her business. We're going to prayer. We both brushed our teeth. And we're down there praying. And for 40 minutes I prayed, God, fix that woman. No, hell no. That would have been a hell prayer. Lord, I have sinned against you. 40, 45 minutes of repentant prayer. I'm done. My quiet-worded wife spends about the same time in repentant prayer. Her pride was set aside as mine. We got up from that, and we were about 87% healed. Why 87%? That's the number I was given. He showed me five things, and it was in a vision. Say it louder. We'll need one. Is that it? Soundboard. Thank you. You can cut that on video. Make sure to tell Carrie thank you, please. Make sure you tell her thank you for me. Where was I? Five things. Thank you. I love this group. See, you guys helped me through. Thank you, COVID, for taking my brainiac. I'm standing on a hill, foggy day, in this vision. Not a mountain, a hill. A hill looks like that. A mountain looks like this, right? Just a hill. Far as I could see, nothing higher. I heard, look down. I look down. I see gravel under my feet. So I'm on a gravel hill. And I look down and he says, take one step. And I see this in my head. I'm taking one step. And I was like, what's that first step about? He says, that hill is your time with me. The very first step, your time with me. The very next step is the time with your wife. Take another step. The next step is the time with your kids. Take another step. Business, friends, all the above. What's the last step? Self. I got it wrong. I was putting business up here. Mary Lou was putting family up there. We got it wrong. We never went to a counselor because we had great counsel. Capital G, capital C. Do you understand in your merciful ways that God will always give you what you need to get through every single situation, past, present, and the ones to come? Do you understand? Be clear with that. Be unequivocal. Be understanding. That's the way it is. Am I clear? Do I need to go further? He united us as one people. He has a way of taking division and making it complete. Mary and I were divided. He made it complete. Your people group amongst another people group. You can be made complete. I have these ways. This is how we do it at our church. This is how we do it at our church. I am not in competition with you, bro. I'm in competition with the weed shop. I'm in competition with the government making the laws that take us away from you. I'm not anti-government. Just your decisions are poorly based. The people that I'm against are the folks that are on this screen that are taking the souls of my kids. They can't get their face off of the screen. And oh, by the way, neither can I. I like YouTube shorts and reels. Dude, I was been sick for 4 or 5 days laying flat out in the bed to even have a this long talking without a cough. I was coughing every couple of seconds. Must be a special time. I'll be going to coughing soon. One day I'll be in a coffin. Done enough. He brings us back together. Only he can divide the build across that divide. He united the Jews and Gentiles into one people in his own body. On the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Can you think about that for a minute? The wall of hostility, that has to be built. It's just not, wall of hostility. Hey, some kind of game you're playing on Candy Crush. I don't know. It is something that is built brick by brick. I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate. Now I'm surrounded by all the things I hate. Oh, good, you've got Satan's love language built all around you. And he breaks those walls down. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments, not the essence of the law, love God, love people, but the law that they put up so they could go through their regulations and checkbox life with God. We call it checkbox Christianity. Nope. He made peace between Jew and Gentile by creating in himself one new people from two people groups. Hold your hand up. Touch your heart. Not dead. Hold your hand up. Touch your heart. Say, I'm his. I'm yours, dude. Yeah, some of you, it's hard to call God dude, huh? It's not the words, it's how you say it. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to... Do you understand? It was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. He brings all groups together, near and far. On the count of three, everybody take a deep breath through your nose. One, two, three. Blow it out your mouth. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. And remember, that Holy Spirit moved the rock, raised the man, God. The same Spirit stopped the seas. The same Spirit created you and me. Do you understand? You have that portal of access unto him, not to wield it in vainness, as we read in the commandments. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. We don't use that spirit for our outcome. He wouldn't do it anyway, but for his. in verse 19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. Y'all are not foreign to God anymore. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. That's why I love the family aspect of it. Why do we call it family dinner when it's at noon? Because y'all call it lunch, you Yankees South. It's dinner at midday. It's supper in the evening. If we were eating in the evening, it'd be family. See, you don't know. Family supper. It's family dinner. Your family. Man, doesn't it feel good to have family that loves Jesus? I mean, really, doesn't it? What other family do you want to be a part of? I don't want to be around my hacked up family that doesn't love Jesus. I don't want to be around them when they don't know Jesus, so I can show Jesus that they'll one day know Jesus and they won't be hacked up no more. Excuse me, anymore. Together we are his house. These groups together are his house. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's the Old Testament. Still being able to be used and understand, reflecting Jesus coming in there. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. As body of Christ, a holy temple for the Lord, independently within that body, a holy temple. Holy means simply this. We're all together here. This is separate. This process, this word is called holy. And we go, holy. It's just holy. It's just separate. You're set aside for him. Through him, you Gentiles are made part, also being made part of this dwelling where God is living by his Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 1. When I think of all this, I, Paul, prisoner of Christ, did you see he didn't give all of his structure of who he was? I, Paul, that have two or three PhDs in X, Y, and LMNOP. He said, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles. He willfully understood the persecuted ways of a man of God, of a woman of God. Assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles, because he's speaking as a Jew perspective, even though he's half in both. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to the previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. This is God's plan. Do you know what God's plan is? We're fixing to read it. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. That's it. Both are part of the same body. Both enjoy the same promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Do you understand? You are privileged not by skin tone, not by pigment, by spiritual ability to share the good news with people that are dying. Though I'm deserving, I'm the least deserving of all people. But you know why he's least deserving? Because he killed Christians. Because he was a zealot Jew. He got the law wrong. It's about love, not duty. The duty comes because the love's evident. Gave the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in the rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ our faith in him, we can now boldly and confidently come into God's presence. How does that make you feel? Listen, wake up now. How does that make you feel, knowing that you can come into the presence of God? And boldly does not mean, I'm here, God. No, it's a humility that You come in the humility of the presence of the Lord, thus boldly. You come in not, don't hit me. No, you come in, Lord, with a respect. Go look up that word. Confidently in the presence. In verse 13, so please don't lose heart because of my trials here. Now he's getting a little more personal. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Pretty wild, huh? Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ through it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. And the last couple of verses. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I love that before we hit the last verse. I love that because we go with prayers and think that they're chieftain level mighty. And if they're guided by the Holy Spirit, they are. But to really understand the well from which you get your font of ink to write on parchment, you don't truly understand the fullness of what he has to offer and the genuineness. And when I think of fullness, I think of the genuineness of it, the true nature of who he is. Remember, you're made of his kind. You must share his kindness. Glory to him in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Yeehaw. You may have your saying, amen. Amen. What did God show you today? Speak loud and proud. Danny, what is God showing you? Don't make me call. Just jump in there, next one. You want me to circle back? Okay. Philip, real loud, buddy. I got to be able to hear you.